Father, you are a great God, and there's nobody that can be compared unto you. Thank you for extending your mercy and your grace that is new every day for us. We love you. Thank you for loving us. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat this morning. Well, for those who don't know, my name is Rick, and I get to be the lead pastor here, and we really are thankful that you are here on this Thanksgiving service. And for everyone that's online, again, we want to say the way to stay connected to us is let us know how we can be praying for you. So whether you're here in the room or whether you are online with us, just text PRAY to that phone number, 401-496-9710. If you could pray or send that and let us know how to be praying for you, that will be one way that we can stay connected, know what's going on in your life. And every week our team still gathers and we still pray for all these who do share in that way. Well, we are in this teaching series today called Switch. And in this series, we're going through this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. And in this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, he shared with us, he's writing to 1 Thessalonians, or he's writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians. He's writing to this church there. And what he is doing is he is sharing with them a switch that needs to happen, a change that needs to happen in their life. Last week we started this out, and the switch is that your faith, you need to live out your faith. You need to live out your faith in love, and you need to show up with hope wherever you go. Well, today we're going to look at this direct quote. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and look at verse number 4. Here's the quote that Paul gives us. He says, our purpose is to please God, not people. Now stop and think about that for a second. Our purpose is to please God, not people. What Paul is doing is saying, hey, this is our purpose. He's talking about Paul, Timothy, and Silas. But then he's also saying this is a shared purpose. This is a purpose that you and I need to have, a switch that needs to happen, a change that needs to happen. Now, let me be really transparent with you, as I always try to be. The past 8 months, this has been in the forefront of my mind, like never before. I've had to continue to remind myself. I've had to continue to go to the scriptures and ask questions around why am I doing what I'm doing. See, there's something inside of me. The way that I'm wired is that I do want to make people happy. I do. There's something in me. I don't want to see anybody unhappy. I want to please everyone. That's something in me that I have to keep in check. And I have to ask myself, why are you making some of the decisions that you're making? And I know that some of the decisions that we have made haven't made some of you happy. I have to go back and just say, am I here to please God or am I here to please people? Some of you have asked me that very thing. Man, it must be hard trying to please everyone. And one thing that I'm very confident in saying is that as I've worked through this, that I can say that my goal, I fight, even though I fight this urge to please you, I really try to do my best, and that it's about pleasing God. Even when some of you don't agree, even when some of you think, Rick, why are you doing what you're doing? And as I have wrestled through this, I'm going to put out 3 questions that I'm going to encourage you to write down. So pull something out, pull out your phone, type these 3 questions in, and let me just tell you right now, you're not going to have enough time to really reflect through these 3 questions right here. So I'm going to kind of just put them out there, And then I really want you to reflect on these three questions, because it's going to take time for you to process to get to this idea. Am I really living to please God, or am I living to please other people? So, because every Christ follower in the room, if you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus, you know this to be true. Who do you live your life for? We know the right answer to that question. There's not a person who would, if you call yourself a Christ follower, there's not a person, you know, here listening online that wouldn't say, oh yeah, I know the right answer. It's God. That's who I'm supposed to live my life for. But I think that many of you are like me, that you need to get underneath that and say, is that really how I live my life out? I've had to do this. And there are times and days when I don't sleep well, it's because I'm trying to please people. When I am all stressed out, it's because I'm living my life trying to please others. Here's a question to get underneath that question. What is the motive behind serving that voice? What is the motive behind serving that voice that you continue to hear? You know, because as we ask, who do we try to please the most? That's that voice that you hear. You are continuing to hear a voice. So that's actually another question that you need to write down, because this is a question you need to think about. Because all of us hear that voice. It's either a person or it's a group of people. That voice that you hear, and that you are making a decision because of that voice that you hear. And then we want to ask this question. What is the motive behind serving that voice? Why is it that you are serving that voice? What's the overarching value that you're holding on to? Now, let's talk a little bit first about this motive behind that voice. Why do you serve that voice? What's the motive behind serving that voice? And that's discovering the motive to serve that voice. One comes from obligation. That's the motive. And here's the emotion that obligation will bring out of you. The emotion that you will experience is you feel guilty if you say no. You feel this sense of guilt. If you are serving and you feel guilty about serving or guilted into serving, then you're serving from this motive of obligation. Or do you find yourself serving others and complaining the whole time? How come I'm the only one? How come it's always me? Where's everybody else? If you find yourself saying those types of things, you're serving out of obligation, and the emotion that it elicits is either guilt or complaining. The other motive is pride. You serve out of this sense of pride in that you want to be recognized. Oh, look what I have done. I went and served these people, and I served over here. And you just, and you know, it's this sense of pride that you feel like you need to be involved in everything so everyone can see what you're doing. Or it's this. They couldn't do it without me. If I didn't do it, then who was going to do it? Because it's going to be, they couldn't do it without me. They need me. That's a sense of pride. That's the motive. And pride is the motive, but the emotion that it elicits out of you is that you think they couldn't do it without you. Now, this last one is just plain old pleasing people. That's the motive. You want people. People to like you, or you want people to be happy with you. And like I said, I get that. I feel that many times. Here, it's you are always saying yes to everyone who's asking. You say yes. Oh, yes, I can do that. Yes. Why? Because you don't want to make them unhappy. But you realize that every time you say yes, you actually say no to something else or someone else. Stop and think about that. Every time you say yes to go do and serve somebody over there, you're actually saying no to either serving your own spouse or your own family, or you're saying no to something on your calendar, maybe that you need to put or do so that you can be emotionally and spiritually healthy. There's nothing wrong with saying no. It's okay to say no. And all the people in the room who feel like they need to please people, you need to hear that. It's okay to say no. If it's because you're saying yes, because you need to serve your spouse, your family, your kids, because you need to say yes to something else, maybe it's yes to your own walk with God, time, so that you can walk with God. But this is about priorities. Pleasing people really is about having missed priorities. Your priorities aren't correct. But saying all of that I have said, there's still this switch that Paul is calling us to make. And the switch is this: to please God, not people. But in pleasing God, we serve people. Did you hear that? We are called to please God. That's the overarching value that each of us are called to do, is to please God. But when we are pleasing to God, we actually do serve people. And there's this tension that we have to live in, to manage in our life. And it's possible to actually do this. And so this is why we're saying, and we're going to see this right in our text, living your life for others is hard and can even be painful, but the investment far outweighs the pain. It's hard, one, not to serve yourself. Secondly, it's hard when you do serve other people, because sometimes it turns around and backfires on you. And that can not just be hard, it can be painful. There's a family in our church who opened up their door to a homeless guy who is in his late 20s. They're wanting to, you know, just give him some help so that he could get established, so that he could get some bearings. And so they did. And there they had this homeless guy in his late 20s. And even sat down with him and worked out a plan. And here's some goals that you need to set so that you can move forward. And did all of that. And it did not end well. It was painful. It was hurtful for this family. But they continue to still serve others. They didn't let that pain of the one. Why? Because they realize the investment in a people far outweighs the pain. It always does. And we'll see this right in our text. So let's jump in verse number 4. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 4. Paul's speaking here. He said, and he's speaking on behalf of their team. Remember, we talked about this last week, that it's always about a team of people. It's never about one individual. Team is always better than one. No lone rangers, right? So it's Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose, and here's that direct quote, our purpose is to please God, not people. He's just telling them right off the bat. He's reminding them, this is the way that we lived our life. We're going to see this. Paul's saying, this is the way that we lived our life when we were with you, was to please God, not you. And then he said that God alone is the one who examines the motive of our hearts. Now, that line right there should speak to many of us, because so many of us try to judge the motive of somebody else. But here Paul says nobody can see in the heart of somebody, and motive is always something that's within. So don't try and judge somebody else's motive. You say, but Rick, it's so clear. Look at their motive. You know, here it is. You can't do it. He alone. Paul says he alone. God alone is the one who judges the motive. So he goes on. Never once, he says, did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. Why? Paul showed up not to tell them what they were hoping to hear, but he showed up to give them a message that he called this good news message, which was that it was that Christ is the one who died for you on the cross. It was Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection that actually makes a change in people's lives. And what Paul Paul and Timothy and Silas did, it says you guys need to switch. You need to quit placing your faith in these idols that you're worshiping. See, those aren't words of flattery. That's a call to make a change, to make a switch. And he did that. And then he says, and as God is our witness, that we weren't just pretending to be your friends so that we could somehow get a big offering from you. He says, just telling you, we showed up with this good news message. And when Paul, you got to remember this, remember the context, that when Paul showed up with this good news message, when Paul showed up, it cost him something. Remember what happened before he went to Thessalonica? Remember he was in Philippi? We talked about this last week. When he was in Philippi, he ended up getting arrested. And there, in that arrest, he was beaten. Him and Silas together, beaten. And do you know what he does? He leaves that city, shows up in another city, and does the same thing. Why? Because he had this overarching value. I'm here to please God, not people. But in pleasing God, I'm going to serve people. And then he says, as for human praise, we never sought it. We did not look for you to praise us. We weren't looking for, hey, attaboy, Paul. Wow, you're the man, Timothy. Silas, whoa, without you, they wouldn't be a team. They weren't looking for that. For human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. He says, as apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead, we were like children. How? Is that in this culture, the children didn't demand from their parents, right? Paul's saying, we didn't show up and demand our rights from you. Instead, he says, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. Think about that image. What is it that mothers always do? Mothers always put themselves in the background and put the needs of their kids first. That's the way Paul shows up. He's saying, we showed up as a team, putting your needs above our needs. He says, we loved you so much that we shared not only God's good news. That's that good news message. That's that message about where do you place your faith and trust. Not, you know, he was explaining the death, the burial, and the resurrection. He says, not only did we do that, but we shared our very lives with you. Our entire life. You see, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they were living a life of generosity. And it was holistic. It wasn't just, when you hear generosity, don't think just money. Think with your time. Think about how you invest in other people. Think about how you take the time to care for others. Especially in this time. People need to be cared for. And Paul, Timothy and Silas were showing up saying, man, the investment, this is worth it. I'm not just going to share this good news message, but you know what? It goes hand in hand. When you are sharing the good news message, it means that you're sharing your whole life with others. Are you sharing your life in this way? Now he continues, don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? So again, we talked about this. We said this, that when you live your life to serve others, it's hard work. Paul acknowledges this is hard work. He says, night and day, he says, we toiled to earn a living so that we wouldn't be a burden to any of you as we preached God's good news to you. So they were bivocational. They were working another job when they showed up there so that no one could point the finger at them saying, oh, you were just looking for the big offering. He said, this was hard work. You yourselves are our witnesses. And so is God. That we were devout, we were honest, and we were faultless toward all the believers that were there. think about that. In delivering this message, this good news message, in pleasing God, but serving others, they were able to say, Paul was able to say, that we did this with all out commitment. We did this with the utmost integrity. And also, even though people want to point the finger at us, if you really investigated, they wouldn't be able to find any kind of proof behind that. Do we serve others in this way? And then he says, and you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. Hey, fathers, listen. How is it that you treat your kids? Don't you show up into your kids' life, not just investing in them, you do invest in them, but you are telling them, hey, you're making some choices right now, and let me tell you about the consequences of those choices if you continue down that path. That's showing up, not with words of flattery, not with words of saying, hey, I just want to be your friend, son or daughter. I'm showing up in your life, bringing you truth with grace. A father will show up in their kid's life saying, I love you, and I'm having this conversation with you because I love you, and here's some of the decisions that you're making, and here's where I see you're headed. That's what a father does. And then the father will say this, you're an adult, but and you're going to make your decisions, and I will still love you no matter the decision that you make. This is how Paul and Timothy and Silas were living out their faith among these people when he said, man, I was like a father who serves these kids. How about you, Dad? Are you serving your kids in this way? He says, we pleaded with you, we encouraged you, and we urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. That's that switch again. He's calling them to live their life differently, to make these changes in their life, to make the change, to live out their faith and their love, and to show up with hope wherever they go. And he says, for God called you to share in his kingdom and glory. See, he's saying that God's called you to live, to make this change, that he's called you to live in his kingdom in the here and now, but also in the future. This kingdom idea is that we are living out our life where we are now, but it's also futuristic. So it's both here and it's also future, and we are called to live it out and to bring others, to share this with others, to share God's kingdom. What is that? Faith, love, and hope. You heard our global partners. You heard them share how they are living out their faith in these different cities. In the U.S. are the ones that you heard right now. One of them in the U.S. has the power to impact globally because of the people that they serve right there in that concentrated area who do go back into their home country. So it really is a global, even though they serve right here. And then another one that you heard was global too, as they train people and they send people out from their training center in California to go globally. The ones that you didn't hear about are because they would end up like Paul and Silas and Timothy. They'd end up in a jail somewhere, beaten. And if not just beaten, in many cases their life would be taken from them. They are willing to share that kingdom. But you know what? There's really no difference between you and me and them. Because if you're a Christ follower, he's called you to do exactly what Paul is calling the people in Thessalonica. None of them were on some global traveling mission, but they were all called to live out the mission right there. This is what we call missional living. So it doesn't matter if you're the office supervisor here locally, if you're the small business owner, it doesn't matter, you know, what your position is. Maybe you're in construction, or maybe you drive a bus or a truck. It doesn't matter, because you are called to live on mission just like Paul is calling these people in Thessalonica to live on mission, you and I are being called to live on mission. And what is living on mission? That is that faith. That is love. And that is hope. Our mission, and when we live like that, that is that value of pleasing God, the ultimate value of pleasing God. That's what it is. Not people, but God. And in pleasing God, we serve people. And then he says, and therefore, we never stop thanking God. See, remember, the investment is worth it. We never stop thanking God when we receive this message from you, that you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. Where is he going with this? He's talking about it's bringing that transformation in your life. You guys are living your lives differently. So he's thanking God. Are there people that you can point to and say, God, thank you for what you're doing in their life, because God used you as you were serving to please God. You actually served other people. And there are people that you can point to. They have a name. They have a face. And you're like, God, thank you for what you're doing in their life. You invested in them, and their life is being transformed. He says, you accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And then he says, and this word continues to work in you who believe. And then in verse 15, he shares this. For some of the Jews, he shares this idea of not pleasing God. Some of the Jews killed prophets. He talks about the Old Testament there. And some of them even killed the Lord Jesus. That's the present day. Now they have persecuted us too. That's Paul, Timothy, and Silas. This is all real time when it was being written. And he said they failed to please God, but not just God. Why? He says it was all of humanity. Is that who they're actually working against? Why? Because they were trying to stop that good news message, the message of faith, of love, and hope to show up. They failed to please God and work against all humanity as they try to keep us from preaching the good news of salvation to the Gentiles. And then he sums it up in verse 19, and this is how we're going to wrap it up. After all, what gives us hope and joy? When your overarching value to please God, and by pleasing God you serve other people, here is your hope and joy. And what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? He says, it is you. He's looking at every one of those Thessalonians, and he's saying, it is you. The you is every person that God's good news message has come to and brought transformation in their life. He says, it's you. Are there people in your school that you can point to and say, it is you? You are my hope, and you're my joy. Are there coworkers that you work with saying, man, you're my hope and you're my joy? Are there people in your neighborhood or in your family that you can point to and say, you're my hope and you're my joy? Because really, when you have the value of pleasing God and it shows up in serving other people, people are our joy. And that's why living your life for others is hard. It's hard work. It's hard not to serve yourself. It's hard to die to self. But it can even be painful, because sometimes it doesn't work out the way that you had invested in their life. But the investment far outweighs the pain. Paul would tell us that it's worth it. Because one day, you, if you're a Christ follower, you will stand before God. And I will stand before God. And as we do, we hope a whole lot of other people do as well with us, because you invested in them. Who are you investing in? Who are you living on mission? Who's the one that you're praying for? Do you still pray, God, show me that one today that I can demonstrate your love to let them know that they matter? Do you still live like that? Maybe you need to say, Rick, pray for me. I'm saying, pray for me. I'm asking you to pray for me. But maybe you need to say, Rick, pray for me. And that's what that connection card. Pull out your connection card. It's inside your bulletin. If you're online, find the link for the connection card. And on there it says, I need to make that switch in my life to please God by sharing my life and discovering true joy. We will pray for you this week. If it's easier for you to text, then just text the word pray to that number, 401-496-9710. And let us know how we can pray for you in that way. And we'll be praying that you will invest in that one on a daily basis. And maybe it's a different one every day. Or maybe it's the same person. That would be your pride. That will be your joy when you stand before God. That will be your reward, that they would be there with you. Now, this next step, it says, I will email our global missions team at go@ccfchurch.net and ask for a list of global partners that I can pray for and encourage. Can I just tell you how important this is? I was just reminded of this week, this very week. I had a list of these people that I was praying for. One of them was a global partner. Actually, a few of them were global partners, but one of those global partners that I had prayed for, while I was praying for them, I get a text. I didn't look at it until I was done, but when I got done and I went back, and I'm like, oh my gosh, they are sharing with me how they had one of their co-workers, and there they are in Southeast Asia, they had one of their co-workers in their home with them, and they are sharing with them this good news message that their co-worker is asking them questions. How come your life is different? How come you seem to have joy? How they ask that very question. How come you seem to have joy? And how come in these difficult times you can still be okay or be happy? That just opened the door for more conversations. And when that conversation was done, their coworker says, I can't wait to come back and have more of these conversations. You see? That's what happens when we pray. Will you do that? Will you email and be a part of that team that's actually praying and get connected? You could reach out to these global partners personally, you yourself. Let them know that you're praying for them. And then the last one is you are interested. I am interested in more information about Perspectives Online Course. And what Perspectives is will give you literally a whole new perspective. It will help you to understand living your life on mission. It will give you a history of global missions, but it will also help you to understand how you can live your life out differently here. And it's all online. It's all online. You can't beat this. And also, our missions team, our global missions team, is going to fund scholarship, the first 14 people, not the full scholarship, whatever the price of the course is, they are going to scholarship a part of that. So, if you're interested in that, just email RI Perspectives, plural, RI for Rhode Island Perspectives @gmail.com. And they will get back to you with more information. It doesn't start until January. I think it's at the end of January, but it will be all online. You'll get, there's never been an easier way to take the Perspectives course. You can do it from your own home and still have all the speakers that they usually fly in. You'll be able to hear all these speakers right on your screen in your house. So, will you do that and broaden your perspective of how God wants to use you right here in Rhode Island? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your church. Thank you for this church. And thank you for what you're doing around the globe for your kingdom impact. God, we all need to live with this higher arching value to please you. And as a result of pleasing you, we serve others. And we show up with faith, we show up with hope, and we show up in love. God, help us to do that. Thank you for promising to make a way. And Father, as we respond to you with this song, declaring that you will make it way, you'll make it possible, because I know there's many people who say, I can't speak, I can't say, I don't even know what to say. You, Father, will make a way. So come and work like that, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name.